Please take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 32. We'll begin our reading at verse 1. Psalm 32, beginning at verse 1. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture was turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee in a time that thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. May the Lord bless in the reading of his word. You may be seated. Please take your Bibles and turn to the 23rd Psalm. Many of you perhaps have seen the stories of wayward sheep, usually in Australia, sometimes New Zealand. And years go by, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years go by, and they find this sheep. And it is sick and starving and sometimes unable to move, away from the care of the shepherd. The sheep had been neglected, and had sheep in nature, the wild sheep do this, you know, like any other animal, but domestic sheep do not shed their wool. It just keeps growing. And after years of accumulated wool, the thing had been weighed down and in a weakened condition, was not even able to move, couldn't walk, couldn't stand. Now, sheep cannot exist independently for long. They need care or they will decline and eventually die if left on their own. The Christian life is not simply a ticket to heaven. We trust Christ as our Savior. And from sin and its consequences and bondage. Thereafter, from the moment we trust Christ as Savior, we are his sheep. And we are to follow him. Remember, the Lord, we started out with this, the Lord is my shepherd. Now, invariably, sheep will wander. And getting back to the shepherd is necessary. We are aware that the shepherd is doing things to get his sheep back. He calls, he convicts, he often uses circumstances and other people to get us back to where we're supposed to be. And the sheep is only safe and at peace when he follows the shepherd. Now, why he wandered off, we'll deal with that when we get into the message. Pursuing a course of independence is a sure route to danger and disaster for the sheep. Now, many Christians find themselves out of fellowship with the Lord. You know you're born again. You have trusted Christ as your Savior. You know you are a child of God. You know you are his sheep. And yet you're not in fellowship with him any longer. Your fellowship has changed. Your status as his child has not changed. Your status as his sheep has not changed. But you're not in fellowship with him. Various things have broken the fellowship that once was there. And along the way, after you have wandered off, they hear the shepherd's call to return and to follow. Now, the best thing in the world when that happens is to follow. To immediately drop whatever you're doing and have that fellowship restored. To hurry to the shepherd. It is a mercy to the sheep that God does this. The shepherd calls. I again need to be following where he will lead. Now, many will heed the call. And if you've been a believer for any number of years, you've probably been through this where you got saved, you're walking with God, and then you were off and you got away, and then God called you back. And sometimes when you get back with God, when you are right with God again, you say, man, I don't know what led me astray. I will never do that again. Oh, what was that? And you start chasing squirrels again. But some heed the call, some continue on that path of destruction, oblivious to its dangers. And I'm telling you, it is a dangerous place. It is frankly a miserable place to be a child of God, not in fellowship with your God. And so today we're going to be looking at two different ideas, restoration and following. And so let's look in verse 3. It says, He restoreth my soul, He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Now, the restoring of the soul, some hook it up with what preceded, He leadeth me beside the still waters. And there is refreshment with that. That is a necessary thing, God giving us what we need. But the word restores means literally in the Hebrew language to turn back. And so we deal with the idea of restore. It also can be translated repent. So what I need is restoration. That implies that I was in a right place before and I'm no longer there and I need to get back to where I was. That's the idea. So why do I need this? What were the causes for my current predicament? Why am I in the situation I'm in? Why am I in need of restoration? Well, there's the neglect of fellowship. You know, we talk about Christian duties, Christian responsibilities, Christian discipline. And there is some truth to that. I have to just like any relationship, I spend time with my wife. I got here a little bit late today. I usually try to get here before 9 o'clock, and I got here a little late because we were having coffee time, and we got talking, and oh, look at the clock, I gotta go. And, need to spend time cultivating those relationships. How do I maintain, how do I have that relationship with God? How does that communication take place? Well, I pray, and I let God talk to me through His Word. And if I neglect those things, then I am not really in fellowship with God. I'm God's child, and I may go through some of the motions and so on, but I am not doing what I should be doing. As a child of God, I need to be spending time every day in the Bible. And not just dragging my eyes across the pages, slamming the book shut, and saying, boy, I took care of that responsibility, what's next on my list? I need to be thinking about what I'm reading. That this is, you know, when we... You've heard, I tell this all the time. I've still got the box of love letters that I got from my wife when we were dating, and she was in California for the summer and I was in South Carolina, and back then phone calls were expensive. Back in that, wait, that's telling you when this was. And I still have those letters, and when they would come, I would immediately open it up and I'd read it. And then I'd get them while I was at work. I work for the Postal Service, how convenient. And then I would get on a break and I'd read it again, and then I'd read it when I got home and I'd read it before I went to bed. Those things get read all the time. Do we read the Bible with the same desire, the same hunger, the same passion? Because this book is given to us by someone who loves us, and we should be loving them. And on those times when we got that phone call, oh man, we've been talking for an hour and a half. Prayer too often becomes a drudgery. We neglect it because it becomes a recitation. Are we spending time pouring our heart out to God? Do we enjoy the fellowship, the time that we sing the song, Sweet Hour of Prayer? Has it ever, number one, is it sweet to you? And have you ever spent an hour in prayer? And yet to get together with some of your friends and so on, and to chat and or even do this for an hour is no problem. And yet somehow we think that all is well in my relationship with God because I drag my eyes across a chapter a day, or I read my verse of the day that popped up on my telephone, or I've had my devotions for the day. That's pathetic. Cultivate your fellowship with God. And we neglect this. That might be the reason for our lack of fellowship, not being what we ought to be before God. Perhaps it's the neglect of some command. And I don't mean, oh, I didn't realize I was supposed to. I'm talking about when we tell God no. And we do that fairly often. We know what most of the time, the basics of Bible Christianity. What am I supposed to be doing? We know those things. I mean, as a Christian, what are you supposed to be doing? Well, I'm supposed to be doing this and that. You know. The problem is not knowing the will of God. The problem is knowing the will of God and not doing it. And so we've told God no. There's a fail to yield my will to His will. Sometimes it's a fear factor. God is going to ruin my life. And so you don't trust Him. Sometimes my distraction is distractions. My distraction for the last 4 years is trying to keep my sheep from wandering off distracted by everything else that's going on in the world in the last 4 years. I read an article. This is, by the way, this is the pandemic in the church. It's not a virus. It's distraction. This is a huge problem. All right? I am to be in prayer. I'm to be reading and studying my Bible. I'm to be in church. I am to be giving. I am to be evangelizing. Five basics, bare bones basics of Bible Christianity. Well, I don't have time to do this and this because I got to deal with this. And have you heard about such and such? And we are so distracted by things that are of no eternal consequence that we neglect the things that we're supposed to be doing. And churches are getting fixated on these things. We are distracted. We are wrapped up in everything other than our responsibilities before God. Now, in the light of eternity, what's important? What's important? This is important. All right, focus on these things. If you have time, worry about something else. But this is our responsibility. Don't neglect this. Because if you do, you're in disobedience. You have told God no. But no buts. If you are not busy with these, then you have told God no somewhere along the way. You know what that means? That means you're in sin, which means you need to get right with God because you're out of fellowship with God and you don't even realize it. We're distracted. We are so often wrapped up in self. And we dealt with this a little bit in the Sunday school hour. Self is the God we most easily worship. I love myself. I think about myself all the time. I think about all the things that I have done, all the things I want to do. I think about myself all the time. I want to make sure that I'm comfortable and happy and healthy. I think about myself all the time. And you do too. I'm not saying you think about me, but you think about yourself. We are wrapped up in ourselves. And to yield ourselves to God is a matter of will. I wrestle with this. And self is the root of I'll throw in the word almost, but it's basically the root of all sin. Selfishness, myself. And I find myself, whether I am willing to admit it or not, I find myself competing against God. As if that should be a problem, but it is a problem, but it shouldn't be. What I should do is simply yield myself to God, and God will take care of everything else. Because, remember, the Lord is my shepherd. And then we deal with self-confidence. Self-confidence can be a good thing. Don't get me wrong. But remember, a sheep, in order to be healthy and happy and at peace, has to follow the shepherd. And if I am self-confident, I am not recognizing very often my dependence, my utter dependence on the shepherd. 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." I'm going to stay right with God. I'll never fall to sin. I don't want to give the devil the satisfaction. That's a sure recipe for disaster. I can't be self-confident because I'm still wrestling with a fallen nature. I'm still wrestling with a fallen flesh, and I'm in a fallen world. Where does my help come from? My power is in the indwelling Holy Spirit. My power is in the shepherd. My instructions are in the Word of God. And so my ability to stand, my ability to do all the things I'm supposed to be doing are all from God. And if I'm counting on myself, if I'm counting on my own strength, my own ability to do what I'm supposed to be doing, have you thought about this? As a believer, with that attitude, I am using the same tools that I used before I became a Christian. I am counting on the strength of my will and my brain and my flesh to do spiritual work. it won't happen. It's a delusion. And so self-confidence, again, is as incompetence in self, is sure to be a problem. And it's very often done unwittingly. We try to live the Christian life in the power of the flesh. I mentioned that there are certain duties, certain responsibilities, certain disciplines. And yes, that goes with it, but I need the power of God in order to be able to fulfill those things. I can't simply make myself do something. I will fail. And even if I make myself do it, there's no spiritual connection there. If I'm doing the right thing in the wrong way or for the wrong reason, I'm still in disobedience. Because the attitude and motive are just as important as what I'm doing. Sometimes it's worldliness. This is something that is not talked about these days. The church, God's people, have melded into the world. We really have. I don't know if it's true or not, I read a stat this past week that the divorce rate is actually higher among those who profess to be God's children than those who aren't. Worldliness is incompatible with godliness. It leads to wrong priorities, it leads to wrong thinking. And here's it legitimizes sin. Churches these days are scrambling to be politically correct. Churches these days are scrambling to be woke. How can I please the world? How can I get into accord with the latest and greatest? How can I make sure that I am not going to offend anybody? Be aware that Bible truth is offensive. Now, I'm not saying we have to be obnoxious about it. But Bible truth is obnoxious. Right and wrong is decreed by God and not by society. And by the way, the church is sometimes guilty of wrongs and they don't even know it because they're not immersed in this. And ultimately, all these things, why am I out of fellowship with God? Why am I not following the sheep? The issue is because I've got unconfessed sin. This is a barrier to fellowship. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Psalm 66:18. I can go through the motions. I can be in church. I can read my Bible. I can say words and address them to God. But I'm not really praying because I am not communicating with God because there's a barrier in the way. In the old days, I could say my phone wasn't plugged in. I'm talking. He's not listening. Why is he not listening? There's unconfessed sin. There's broken fellowship. I need to see my sin as sin. Lord, if this is wrong, I'm confessing it, but I don't think it's wrong. That's not going to get you anywhere. And making any excuses, God doesn't make deals. If I make excuses for my sin, then I am not making confession. Excuses are not accepted, nor are they forgiven. Confession is needed. In the old days, we used to say you need to keep short sin accounts with God. As soon as I am aware that I have done something, thought something, said something that I should not, I need to make it right. Don't let it linger. Get it taken care of as soon as you're aware of it. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. As far as eternity is concerned, I have a right standing, a right relationship with God. I am his child. I have a place reserved in heaven for me, it says in 1 Peter. But my interactions with him in the here and now, my fellowship with him in the here and now, deals with keeping those short sin accounts. He restoreth my soul. There needs to be a setting of things right. You know, when you're under conviction, if God the Holy Spirit is tapping you on the shoulder and saying, hey, this is about you, the most important thing you need to do is yield. If you fight the conviction of God, you are in trouble. You are in real, real trouble. Because there may come a day when God stops convicting and he leaves you on your own. So I need to yield to conviction. Maybe you're reading a good Christian book and God speaks to you through that. Maybe it's a something you read, you heard a word from somebody. Maybe the circumstances. Maybe you're reading your Bible. And by the way, people who are not right with God don't like to read their Bibles because two things. Number one, without the empowering work of the Holy Spirit, because you've quenched the Spirit by your sin, without the empowering work of the Spirit, this book doesn't speak to you anymore. It is dull. It is no longer exciting. You're reading it because you have to. Because you're making yourself do it. You're reading the book in the power of the flesh. And when it does speak to you, you don't like what it says to you. It convicts your heart. You don't like that. Restoration is humiliating, just like salvation is humiliating, because I don't have anything to offer. I need to humble myself before God, acknowledge my sin, and ask God for restoration. I need to yield. Going back to where I was supposed to be in the first place, I need to yield my will to God's will. Instead of wandering off and doing my own thing, I need to yield my will to God's will. Back where I need to be, and frankly, back where I want to be. You know, you never hear about a Christian who is in fellowship with God complaining about how awful that is. Oh, I wish I wasn't walking with God. I hate reading the Bible. I just hate spending time in prayer. I hate serving God. I hate the fact that he loves me and I have all these things from him. I just want to do my own thing and I wish he'd leave me alone. No believer says that. Unless they're really pursuing a course of sin and God's chasing them and hammering after them and they don't like that because they're not willing to yield their will to him. All that peace and joy and contentment that comes from the Christian life comes by walking with him. And it's true. It's true. So after you get right with God, I hear this from people that got saved in their later years, and I've heard it many times, many times. And I hear it from people who have been away from the Lord for a length of time, and then they get right with God. Here's the answer. Why did I wait so long? Why did I wait so long? Why did I wait so long? Hear about somebody that got saved in their 50s, 60s, 70s, or even their 80s. Why did I wait so long? And for a child of God who's been pursuing their own course for, maybe years, decades sometimes. Why did I wait so long? Why did I do that? He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. See, if you're following the sheep, you're on the right course. He directs your path. He has given us instructions. It's right here. We have instructions. The Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Number one, doctrine. By the way, the word inspiration means literally God breathed. This is a book that God gave us. It was not the novel ideas of a bunch of prophets who lived a long time ago. This is given by inspiration of God. He used human authors to write down basically what he instructed them to write. It's not dictation, it's inspiration. And so doctrine. What am I to believe and why? Well, it's right here. God has told me what the truth is. Thy word is truth, the scripture says. And I need to be able to declare and defend the faith. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness. Which means, if I'm going to be able to do that, I need to learn this book. And I have been a believer. You don't think I'm really that old. I have been a believer for 45 years. I got saved in the womb. No, I got saved when I was a teenager, but the point is that I have been a student of the Bible ever since, and I learn new stuff all the time. There's always new lessons to learn. There's always things that I didn't know that. I never thought of that. Look at that. It's right there, and I didn't see it. That happens all the time. We need to be learning the book that we might be able to share it with others and to be able to give an answer to people who ask. Because once I don't know, this has happened to you. You ever had somebody come and say, hey, could you tell me, because especially if they happen to know you're a Christian, by the way, make sure that you earn the right of being known as a Christian. Don't declare it. Wear a button up. I'm a Christian. Ask me questions. Don't do that. But when people come up to you, do they ask you Bible questions? And don't say, I don't know! Or if you do say, I don't know, say, I'll tell you what. I'll give you a rain check. I'll have the answer for you tomorrow. Find the answer. If you need to, call me, email me. That's what I'm for. And if I can't find it, I got other resources. Okay, we'll get the answer. But know and be able to share that. Know what you believe and why. And then he's got this one, for doctrine, for reproof. You know what reproof is? Reproof is, hey buddy, you're out of line. You're in sin. You got something wrong here. You need to get that taken care of. Reproof is pointing out right and wrong. For correction. All right, now that we've pointed out the problem, here's what you do to fix it. Fixing what is wrong, replacing the wrong with what is right. And then instruction in righteousness. Okay, now that we've gotten the problem taken care of, here's what you're supposed to be doing. Instruction in righteousness. Here's how you are to live in thought and word and deed, because God cares about all three of those. And what's the result? Verse 18. That the man of God may be perfect. Now, perfect doesn't mean totally without flaw. That is not what the idea means in the original language. It means complete or mature or prepared. For what? For every good work. So that I can effectively serve God. So that I can, frankly, fulfill my purpose as His child, as His sheep. It's all right there. It's very simple. The problem is not knowing. The problem is will. Will I do? Will I yield? Will I follow my shepherd? And so he restores my soul and he leads me in paths of righteousness. He leads the way. I follow his example, his holy life. You look at the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, and I'll tell you what, there's a lot of times it's like, how did he manage to respond properly under these circumstances? You look at him before the Sanhedrin, before the crucifixion. How did he respond prop? Well, he's sinless. He's God incarnate. But at the same time, he sets an example for us to follow. And if you ever read Fox's Book of Martyrs, which is not pleasant reading, but you look at how many of God's children in the past, under the most duress of circumstances, were able to respond properly by the power of God. It's amazing. Amazing. So we follow his examples. Our Lord has been there. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15 says, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He understands because of omniscience, because he's God. But he also understands by experience. He leadeth me. I need to follow. I'm not chained. I'm not on a leash. This is not the shepherd doing this number. The shepherd is going where he's supposed to be going, and we as his sheep are supposed to follow. What does that require? My will being conformed to his will. That also implies, more than implies, a great deal of trust. I need to follow the shepherd. Where's he going? Well, I have some indication here, but sometimes in the providence of God, as far as some of the details here on earth, I don't know where that's going to be. But I need to follow. I need to trust him. I'm trusting him for all eternity. I'm trusting my soul to God. My eternal resting place I have put entirely and completely in His care. That being the case, how hard is it to trust Him for today and tomorrow? And yet sometimes we find it much, much more difficult. I need to trust Him. I need to follow. I need to go where He leads. We sang this morning, where He leads me, I will follow. And of course, that requires obedience to God's revealed will. And again, I need to know the book. I need to know the instructions. He leads me in the paths of righteousness, in the right way, things that are in accord with His word. He will not lead me astray. Now, sometimes the road is rough. Sometimes there's hazards along the way. I need to follow my shepherd. There is a temptation to wander because sometimes the road gets rough. I need to follow my shepherd. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. What's that last phrase there? For His name's sake. God's reputation is on the line. Understand that God, by His very nature, must live up to all He is. God never makes mistakes. I mentioned this on Thursday at the graduation. We deal with contingencies, but God only with certainties. We have plan A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and on down the line. For God, there's only plan A, because plan A is all He needs. And if I'm wanting to rest in myself with A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, and so on down the road, doesn't it make a whole lot more sense to deal with a shepherd who only has plan A? I can trust Him. He's certain. There's no contingencies with God. He loves me. He loves me with a self-sacrificial love. He gave His life for the sheep. He bore my sins on Calvary to make me His sheep. He provided forgiveness. He made me His child. He adopted me. He has a place reserved in heaven for me. He is preparing a place for me even now. And if that's the case, why can't I follow Him now? Why can't I follow Him today? The problem is not the shepherd. The problem is the sheep. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You love us. You have given us all that we need. And yet we insist on wandering. We so often insist on having our own way. And Father, I pray the Spirit of God would convict our hearts. The shepherd would call, and we would return. And Lord, if there's somebody here today that is their goat, they've never trusted Christ as Savior. They're not a sheep. But Father, they need You. They need to become Your child. They need to become Your sheep. They need to follow the shepherd. And Father, if there's somebody here today, they're uncertain as to where they're going to spend eternity. Father, may today be that day of salvation that they might become Your child. Father, thank You. You've done all these things for us. Father, there is joy and peace only, really, in following You. Thank You for this. We pray for Christ's sake. Amen.